And welcome back to Community Partners. As you were listening last week, we were speaking with Sherry Dougal about the 16 elements of the Indian Bride. There's actually specific words that that Sherry used to describe the ornamentations. And so, Sherry, welcome back this week, and thank you for going through this with us. This is amazing, an amazing learning of the Indian culture. So yeah,
thank you so much for having me on air again, and I'm very excited.
So, so we didn't get through the whole list of elements last week, and we stopped, I believe, with a poem, and it was around you were describing the nose ring. I believe that was what the last one was, wasn't it?
The nose ring, and then perfume. We ended with the perfume poem.
Right.
Yes,
that's right.
Remember, being an Indian woman is a sensory experience, and we can't forget our sense of smell.
Yes.
Yes. And the last line of my poem was, even Vayu, the wind god, is left to her mercy. But once you see a beautiful woman, it's hard to resist her.
Yeah.
So. For sure.
Yeah. My sense of smell is kind of out there, so... I love the smell of wonderful perfumes, and
and
Indian perfumes are very herbal, right?
I personally, I'm a naturopathic doctor by background.
Yes.
I don't do full clinical case taking, but I'm all about natural. So I love natural fragrances from different herbs and different flowers. I tend to gravitate towards those. And as in everything else, the fragrance that you like is very unique to you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very personal. So you can personally choose what perfume you'd like to wear. I personally love rose water. And I personally love, lavender. Also, it's very relaxing. Scent of lavender.
Yes. Okay, so we're starting with our elements today.
The next element is called karan phool, or ear flowers, which are the earrings.
Okay.
Of course, earrings are, everyone around the world wears earrings. The Indian bride has its own unique touch. And I did not know this either as part of my research.
Hmm.
And that's why I wrote this book, Michael, because I was just interested, and one day I was on the internet, and I looked up Sola Shungar just for fun.
Yes.
And I'm like, oh, that's interesting. Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, that's interesting. And so that's why, through my research and my personal knowledge of Indian mythology, I wanted to capture it through poetry.
Okay.
Which is what inspired my book. Mm-hmm.
So what is the importance of
the earrings? So elongated earlobes were considered a sign of beauty and wealth. And so the longer the lobe, the greater the woman's wealth.
Mm-hmm.
Which is pretty interesting. A woman is a treasure of experience, a treasure of knowledge. And it also protected her against gossip, whatever you hear.
Mm-hmm.
Protected her from gossip and any other noise that distances herself from her true nature, which in essence, again, is spiritual. It's soul-based.
I know in a lot of respects, words can be very, very powerful.
And, and you're a singer yourself, Michael. You're a musician. You definitely know the power of music. It can either, music can be powerful too, but words can also break or right. make you.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Some of the work that I actually do do now is building soundtracks for movie trailers and corporate videos, and I sit and I discuss with them and say, okay, what is the feeling, the emotion that you want this thing to cause, and then I have to go find the right sounds that would make that happen.
Wow.
So I know that the words put in one order can make a person, but you change the order around, and of course it could also break the person.
Mm-hmm. Like you said, it's all energy, right? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And words have their own vibration. Mm-hmm. In India, the word Om is a very powerful chanting term because it represents the whole universe.
Oh.
And it represents the three states of being, mm-hmm. the waking state and the higher state of knowledge. So, yeah. Words have their own vibration, just like music does. Have you heard about Masaru Emoto?
Yes.
Yes. He did the whole water research.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, some music made not-so-beautiful crystals in the water, and classical music especially. And I don't know why, but that's why I think I tend to words Indian classical or Western classical, too. Others form beautiful crystals. So it all depends on the vibration.
Right.
Of what you're saying, of what you're listening to. Which is what the earrings or the karan phool remind us of.
Hmm. Okay. So that makes sense. So the vibration of the sounds and the protection with the earrings to protect the soul.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, great.
There you go.
So moving on to the next element, I guess.
The next element is the har or the necklace. Now I'm not sure. You've been to Indian weddings, correct, Michael?
Yes, I have.
Mm-hmm. Of course, you have the Agni. The Agni is a sacred fire mm-hmm. around which the Hindu wedding ceremony occurs.
Yes.
Agni is considered the Agni, again, the Agni god, just like Vayu, the wind god, Surya, the sun god. So everything happens around the fire, the sacred fire, including the exchange of garlands. So the predecessor, once again, I'm reading directly from my book. The predecessor of the necklace in India was a fresh flower garland. And one of the more important designs of the necklace is known as the champakali, or the buds of the champa flower. That was traditionally used. So it's a way to acknowledge that I accept you, you accept me, so it's an exchange that happens. So I put the garland on the groom, and the groom puts a garland on me. Hmm. It's a beautiful exchange.
Yeah.
And of course, the necklace protected the bride from the unwanted gaze of strangers. So it distracted the viewer from the face to the neck. The protection element is always there, of course.
Yes. So, I think that's one of the important things. When you stand together as a husband and wife, that there is that element of protection between the two, right?
Yes.
So, yeah.
It's just a beautiful concept. Mm-hmm. Many people think that, the male or the man is the protector of the house. But the woman does her share, too.
Yes.
To protect. And especially women also protect her children. So the woman definitely also protects her children. And yeah, the Shakti, don't underestimate her. She's a very, or the feminine force, don't underestimate her because she's a powerful force. Definitely.
Yes. Well. Okay. Mm-hmm. So what's the next element then?
The next element is similar to a necklace. It's kept around the neck. It's called a Mangalsutra. And again, the Mangalsutra, it's a big moment in Indian cinema. Mm-hmm. No one takes the Mangalsutra off because it's always supposed to be on the bride. Don't touch my Mangalsutra. Don't you dare take my Mangalsutra off. How dare you, you know?
Yeah.
Because the Mangalsutra, of course, is worn throughout the bride's life and once again enhances the well-being of her husband.
Okay.
So it's traditionally, Michael, it has gold and black beads.
Mm-hmm.
But in depending on the region, I'm sure you remember we were talking about how each region is different.
Yes.
So traditionally it's gold and black, but some regions also add red beads, depending on the area. And the first knot is usually tied by the groom and his sisters or family members. Again, everything happens in threes. The other two knots are tied by his sisters or his family members as a symbol of her acceptance into the family.
Mm-hmm. So
again, the Trinity comes into play, and again, protection comes into play.
Yeah.
And of course, the Mangalsutra is, like I said, very important, even in Indian cinema. There's a lot of scenes that revolve around that.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing how culture appears in film. So.
Sorry?
Amazing how culture appears in film.
So, yes. So it's a form of expression, and this is part of Indian tradition. Which I captured through words, through poetry.
Okay.
Shall we go on to the next one?
Yes, we should.
The next one is called Bajuband or the armlet.
Okay.
And the armlet, again, it's for protection. And there's also a form of jewelry in India called Jadao jewelry. And it's also called engraved jewelry. There's many different things that can be engraved, different shapes. The armlet, you can see shapes of crocodiles, snakes, peacocks, geometric patterns. It's endless.
Okay.
And it's beautiful.
Yeah, now you've said something else important about India. because India was also one of the centers to start using geometry to build. So, geometric shapes in the jewelry. Interesting.
Geometric shapes, patterns also have their own symbolism, I think. Especially the circle. The circle is a key image in my book, Michael, because the circle represents the cycle.
Yes.
And the woman completes that cycle. By giving birth, she's able to complete that cycle to its fullest extent. And then her child can continue the cycle again. So it's like, circles are important in many different cultures because it does represent the infinite.
Yeah.
And no matter how you treat a woman, no matter how badly you treat her, the feminine force is always a force to be reckoned with. Nothing can get rid of it. Nothing can squash it in any way.
No.
The feminine force is definitely a powerful force because she is what continues that cycle. Or the circle element.
Yeah. Like you said, circles are important in many different ways in our universe. So there's
Is there any significance in, I guess it has the same significance in Native culture. Yeah, the medicine wheel.
With the medicine wheel, yes it does.
I just love it.
Yeah. And of course, when we get back to... Getting back to science and math and geometry, when you look at the oscillation between the trig functions between sine and cosine, when you allow them to oscillate around each other, they form a circle.
Wow.
Yeah. So, yeah.
That's amazing.
Everything...
Yes, I love mandalas, Michael, and I think mandala is also captured because everything, the earth is a circle, the sun is a circle,
yes.
You know, so.
Yeah, so.
Life is a circle.
life is a circle, you know. When you talk about beginnings and ends, it's a circle, yeah.
And the seasons also occur in cycles. And the seasons, spring, summer, fall, winter, again, it's cyclical. Yeah. It can capture that as a circle.
Yeah.
And that's why I also love the medicine wheel, because it also captures that whole idea. Yeah.
Very much so. There's a lot to do with circles and their perfection. So, yeah.
How are we doing for time?
Oh, we're doing really great for time. Let's introduce it. Start down the path for the next element. I may have to break at some point there, so I may have to break you in middle of the next one. But we'll get back to it as soon as we get into the next segment anyway.
Perfect.
Okay.
Perfect. Perfect.
Yeah.
So the next element is the tunia, or the bracelet.
Okay.
And bracelets, of course, are also the inspiration. We heard some music during the first session. Bole tunia, which means the bangles speak. Lots of Indian songs are inspired by tunia. A very fun, playful songs in Bollywood cinema. And of course, again, it's to protect the husband. It's a means of protection. And what they say, Michael, is the smaller the bangles, the more loving and happy the marriage.
The smaller the bangles.
Yeah, so they try to squeeze the bangles in to make it a bit tight. And just for that aspect, that's what they say.
Wow.
Which is pretty interesting.
Yeah, that is pretty interesting. Okay, let's get to a break.
Perfect.
And continue on with the bangles for a second afterwards, okay? So be perfect. Right back.
Do you want me to voice it?
I can yeah, voice yeah. it. Please voice
That's
this
the
one.
Wrong mic.
I forgot.
You f- dip. I can't believe I put up with this. And I asked for a grape soda, you asshole. Okay.
Due to a labor dispute, CITR is missing its star voice actors. That means if you're interested in producing PSAs, advertisements, and various other promotional wonders for airplay on the radio, we need you. Learn how to get involved with CITR's production department and all other facets of volunteering at CITR and Discorder Magazine at CITR.ca. Programming, photography, media training, and more. Plus, a guest star in the lounge. No, wait, we can't promise that.
Can't believe I put up with this.
Listen, radio is an important means of communicating 3,000 years of habit in terms of diapering of babies.
Well, please tell me more.
Because radio reaches people, including those hard-to-get young people. Radio goes where they go and talks their language, recognizing the importance of contemporary sound.
And the sounds are instantly recognizable as belonging to the in-groups currently on top of the charts.
CITR, 101.9 FM, Vancouver.
It's wild.
CITR 101.9.
CITR 101.9 FM.
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 CITR, Voices of UBC.
And we're back. You're listening to Community Partners, and we're with Sherry Dougal. And this is part two of a two-part interview. Of course, we hope that you were listening last week when we started talking about the 16 elements of the Indian bride. And we're up to the bracelets now, or the bangles, is it?
Bracelets, it's also called churiya.
Yeah.
And we heard a song in our first segment, our first half on churiya. And like I said, a lot of Bollywood songs are inspired by the churiya.
Yeah.
A lot of music. And, yeah. Like I also mentioned before, being an Indian woman is a sensory experience.
Yes.
Of course, you have the visual treat of seeing her all decked up, but you also have the element of sound.
Yeah.
And one of the elements of sound are the bracelets.
So the bracelets themselves, they chime, right?
They make there's a bit of background noise happening.
Yeah. my power system here is deciding that it wants to talk while we're having the interview, in order to turn the power system off means that I have to actually have to shut down everything. So,
oh my goodness,
we'll just have to bear with it for a second. It'll go out in a second. I would hope.
No worries.
My apologies, Sherry.
I was just wondering. Yeah. No worries at all. So, yeah, absolutely. And once we, there you go.
Yeah.
Silence.
Yeah. There it is again. Okay.
There you go. Thank you. So, shall we go on to the next element?
I did have somebody told me something. I noticed that the Indian men, they all wear a single silver bangle. And somebody told me there's a significance of protection against spirits.
Uh-huh. And that is in Sikh culture.
Okay.
Yes. So, mine is a Hindu perspective. In Sikh culture, you have the kara, which you wear.
Yeah.
And yes, that is, again, a form of protection.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
Yes. Sikh culture is very similar, of course. It's a part of India, Punjab.
Yes.
Which is where my parents are from. But we are Hindu Punjabi because we also know Hindi and Punjabi.
Okay.
So we know both. But because we were born in Punjabi also, my parents also knew Punjabi, and that's why I also know Punjabi.
Okay. So
that's the difference.
I'm mixing metaphors here, so to speak, right?
Absolutely. And like I said, each area is its own uniqueness. Sikh weddings are, the essence is the same, but they also have their unique elements.
Okay.
All right. Uh-huh. And I provide a North Indian perspective. Yeah. Towards what I wrote in Shingar, The Different Shades of an Indian Bride.
Yeah. Okay, so let's move on to the next element then.
The next element is the henna or the mehndi. Hmm. And yes, it's a lot of fun getting your, I just love henna. Because it's like a temporary tattoo.
Yeah.
That you can get done. And I just love the whole decorations. You can just play with different images. In my book trailer, we had the image of the bride and the groom. The bride was in one hand, the groom was in the other hand. And I thought that was pretty cool. And henna is usually orange or red color. Red is the color of power and fertility in Indian culture. That's why even a lot of the outfits are red, orange colored. Orange represents the sun, which is new beginnings, like the rising sun. And what happens is the bride actually puts the groom's name hidden somewhere in the henna. So at one point, the groom has to try to find his name within the henna.
Now, because India, you use a different alphabet than we do in the West, right? So yep. We would never have known that. It just looks decorative.
But in Canada, we just put the Canadian name. For example, Raj.
Yeah.
We just R-A-J, and Raj has to try to find it in yes.
Yeah.
R-A-J, he has to find his name in all the patterns.
Hmm.
And it is, of course, said that the darker the mehndi, the stronger the love. So they try to keep the mehndi as dark as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And there's different ways to do it. You can put lemon on it. Lemon keeps it dark. And of course, you have to cover your toes and feet overnight. I had a lot of mehndi crumbs on my bed before my book trailer as it got dried.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was pretty interesting to go through that whole experience. So the mehndi crumbs are there, and then you just wash it off the next morning. And you usually get it done 2 to 3 days before because it's darkest on the third day. So you have to kind of correlate it with the wedding day.
Okay. So did you show your love at its strongest because you said the darker the mehndi, the...
It is said the darker the mehndi, the stronger the love.
Yeah.
It's pretty interesting.
Shall
we go on to the next?
Yeah, let's go on to the next
element.
One. Yeah.
Yes, the next one is called the thumb ring or the ring itself.
Mm-hmm.
And traditionally, the ring had a small mirror in it. Because traditionally, the bride is not, and I think this is in other cultures too, the bride is not allowed to see the groom.
Yeah, that's that is in a Western culture. Yeah, it's supposed to be bad luck.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what she does is she tries to sneak a glance of the groom through her ring. So the mirrored ring, or Asi, the ring allowed the bride to get a glimpse of her groom as her face was draped with the sari or the pallu, and they weren't allowed to see each other. Mm-hmm. The other cool thing was that in palmistry, you know, when you read the palm?
Yeah.
In palmistry, the thumb is considered to be the king, determining the whole character, the whole state of health, and the whole future of the individual. So basically, she has her whole future captured in her thumb ring, or in her thumb. Mm-hmm. Which I thought was a pretty cool correlation.
That is a cool correlation.
And as I mentioned here, their eyes have met, her future blossoms on her thumb. Part of my poem. Yeah. And I'm not going to read the whole thing because hopefully people will get a copy of my book and read.
Well, yeah, we can't give all the poetry away.
Oh, you go.
Yeah, we have to there have you go. Buy the book.
Got to leave some suspense. Absolutely. Yeah.
And that's October 25th, right?
My book launch, is on October 25th at Kino's Cafe, which is on Cambie Street. If you want more details, you can Google me. I'm not too hard to find. Or you can send me a message on my website. If you Google my name, Sherry, Sherry. Mm-hmm. And Google, my last name is Duggal. You can Google me, Twitter me, Facebook me to get more details. There's going to be dance. So I'm going to present my Sola Shringar dance. There's going to be discussion. There's also going to be mandala making at the end. And we're going to make mandalas in dedication to all those women who are suffering. So we're going to make a mandala with the intention of healing women all around the world and anyone in your personal life who needs healing.
I think at some point or another, we all need healing, right?
Absolutely, especially women, they go through so much. And also, there's going to be a henna artist on board. So if you want henna done on your hand for a nominal donation, and the 10% of the proceeds will go to the women's shelter in downtown Vancouver, BC.
Okay. That's great.
And also, if people want to bring their jewelry, I'm going to bring my favorite piece, although I have a few favorite pieces of jewelry, mm-hmm. but I'm going to bring my favorite piece of jewelry to share, and anyone can bring their jewelry, and if they have a short story to share with regards to their jewelry, they're welcome to do so.
Awesome.
Which will be fun.
All right. So what is the next element then?
Yes, how are we doing for time?
Oh, we got lots of time for this segment yet. So.
Okay, perfect. Kamarband, the waistband, is the next one. Mm-hmm. And I think that the hips or the waist are one of the most sensual parts of the female body, I believe. But the interesting thing about this ornament, the waist ornament, is usually made to conveniently hold a bunch of keys. And these are the keys to the bride's new home. And they're usually handed over to her by her mother-in-law. And there's whole drama associated with this again, where the mother-in-law secretly doesn't get along with her the daughter-in-law, she tries to sneak, get the keys away from her, or whoever has the keys has free reign over the next generation. So traditionally, by passing on the keys, she is given control of the household. And she has control over future generations and is allowed to take care of her children in the way that she wants.
Okay.
Yes, you can also see this in Indian cinema.
Yeah. There's a lot of reference to the mother protecting the children in Indian cinema. Yeah.
And she's basically passing her legacy onto her children. And that legacy is represented by the symbol of the keys. And again, it adds a sensory element because the keys jingle as she walks around the household. They're always reminded that, okay, she's now in charge. She'll be the one taking charge of the household now.
Wow.
Which is a beautiful thought.
Yeah.
And beautiful idea.
Something in Western culture being in charge of the house becomes important, because it's not just being in charge of the house, it's being in charge of the relationship and learning to allow some things through. But enough things for wisdom, but enough, but not so much that you're unprotected. So.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly, and yeah, she's the one who's in charge now, and like I said, she passes her legacy on to her children.
Yeah.
Okay. Which is a beautiful thought.
Yeah.
Passing things on. Letting things go, you know?
Yeah.
Letting go of that control.
Right. Okay. So what's the... We're at the waist.
The next one. The next one is her anklets. We're almost done the 16 elements, which is amazing.
Yeah.
Again, lots of songs that are inspired by the pile or the anklets. They're also called chum chum, pile, in different parts. Ghungru, also.
Yeah.
Inspires a lot of songs in Indian cinema. And, of course, it adds a sensory element once again, the sense of sound or hearing. And I have here, of course, anklets not only scared away snakes at night, because you know when you meet your partner secretly at night in the garden, or you walk in the garden at night in your household, but it also was used so that the husband knows where the wife is. Even though she couldn't be seen, the husband knew where the wife is by the sound of her anklets or pile.
So the anklets, they have... like little bells to them, right?
Little bells, and there's again different patterns, different styles, different colors. It really is amazing.
Yeah.
The jewelry in India, especially in Lucknow, is one of my favorite places. I don't know. The jewelry there, I always love the jewelry there. There's so much variety, which I don't think is found in any other part of the world. Which is amazing.
Yeah.
All these different jewelries and even the outfits. The different, like you said, it is a very colorful culture.
Yeah. Yeah.
All the different colors, yeah.
One of the reasons that as a photographer I love celebrating Indian culture because of all the colors. Yeah. Okay.
That's beautiful. Yeah. And also, the feet are considered the humblest. The feet are considered the most humble, the most impure part and polluting part of the body. Mm-hmm. And therefore, touching the feet is a sign of respect.
Okay.
Well, which I also think is very beautiful. So, you know, when you touch the feet of your elders, that's a tradition in India.
Mm-hmm.
When you touch the feet of your elders, and the elders give you their blessing. That is a very humble act. And also when you touch the feet of your husband, the husband also kind of provides you with his protection and his blessing.
Wow.
And golden, not a symbolism.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of symbolism in my book and in Indian culture itself. And also golden anklets are not really worn. Gold is not used as much. Because gold symbolizes Lakshmi. And I don't think I mentioned the goddess Lakshmi. She's the actual goddess of wealth and beauty.
Mm-hmm.
And because we're talking about the feet, we don't wear gold anklets because it's considered sacrilegious to wear gold on the feet.
Oh.
Yes, so we avoid wearing gold. We can wear gold anywhere else, but yeah, which is pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Because we have to respect the goddess and the goddess Lakshmi.
Yeah, that's, I can see that being important. Making sure that we offer that respect and along with it probably comes the gratitude, right?
And, you know, we have so many different rituals, like when the baby takes his first bite, or the first haircut, we have a ceremony for that. Everything is sacred.
Yeah.
You know? And the whole sacred, which I just find beautiful, which is why I love my culture.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, everything is celebrated. Everything is kind of given value, given meaning. And yeah, that is also captured in all the other kind of rituals and transitions to the different phases of life that we go through.
Okay, so we need to get to another.
Last but not least.
Yeah.
Oh, our last second to break. Last.
Our last second break to last. Here too, and then we will continue with the list. Uh-huh. Just hang on 1 second there, and we'll be right back after this break. And you've been listening to CITR here at UBC Radio 101.9 FM.
Thousands of opinions are at our fingertips, but are all opinions informed? Does your information have a source? Is your social feed based on fact? Only facts can uncover the truth. Professional journalists are committed to balanced and nonpartisan reporting, to independent commentary. They cut through the spin to give you the information and perspective you need. Journalism is essential to democracy, a watchdog over the powerful, an independent voice. Journalism is more important than ever.
Hey, this is Noah from Christ on Parade, and you are listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, BC, Canada.
When you join Balloon Club, we guarantee that you will be able to make a balloon poodle within the first day.
Here at the UBC Ant Club, we just like to talk about ants and compare ant farms. It's really cool.
Paperclip Club is all about, well, paperclips mostly.
At Blah Club, you can blah blah, blah 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 blah.
Explosion!
There's only one club worth joining at UBC, and that's CITR 101.9 FM. We got free tickets to shows, whirly pops, professional help in all types of audio engineering, passes to festivals, crazy parties, live band swag, all types of crazy people. Our programming manager rides a motorcycle. There's freestyle rapping, Nardwar the Human Serviette, the vinyl and record libraries, Discorder magazine, free studio recording, and it sure beats the hell out of Paperclip Club, which is a thing that I just made up because I work at
CITR.
So come check us out on the floor of the Student Union Building. We got all types of crazy shit for you to do. Or check us out online at www.citr.ca.
You're listening to Community Living Radio on CITR. Here at UBC Vancouver, 101.9 FM. Her book, which celebrates the 16 elements of the Indian Bride. And we're coming to the end of the list and the end of a two-part interview. So go ahead, Sherry.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Welcome back, everyone. And thank you so much again for having me, Michael.
Yeah, you're welcome.
We are getting to the last two of the 16 Shringara. So second to last is the toe ring.
Okay.
And before I get to the toe ring, I have here, I thought this captured what I wanted to say very well. A lady's sophistication is not judged by her face, but her feet.
Hmm.
Food for thought.
Yeah. I think that is expressed in a lot of different cultures when you consider the shoes and other adornments that that women wear on their feet.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
So the toe ring is usually gifted by the mother-in-law mm-hmm. to the bride, and the rings are said to enhance fertility in married women. It's usually worn on the second toe of the left foot and is normally worn until the husband passes away. And in some parts of India, you also, of course, you have the henna on the feet, but you also have a red colored ink that may be applied on the feet. It is cooling in nature and is used to reduce body heat. Just like we have cooling perfumes, cooling herbs, this is also a way to cool the feet, which is directly attached to the earth. And the core of earth is fire itself. The core of our being is fire itself.
Wow. That is... Such a true statement. Wow. Okay.
Thank you. So. And Michael, last but not least, of course, you have the bridal dress.
Yeah,
I'm sure you've.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You were describing significance of colors and things like that. In the different fabrics, so I imagine that this is going to be a very important element to discuss, isn't it?
Colors in general are very symbolic, and very symbolic in terms of new beginnings. Mm-hmm. Fertility. Red symbolizes once again fertility, because she's the one who's going to continue the cycle.
Right.
And colors have always fascinated me, Michael, because I've always been interested in color therapy, in gemstone therapy. Because mm-hmm. like we talked about the chakras, and each chakra is associated with its own color.
Yes.
And each chakra is associated with its own gemstone, which has always fascinated me, and all the gemstones that are used in the jewelry Of course, real gems are more expensive. But I also have always been fascinated by the healing properties of the jewelry we wear. And there is a science behind it.
On what that science is behind the healing of with the gemstones.
I think it has to do a lot with the nerves, calming down the nerves, and also the blood flow. And also in terms of energetically clearing any sort of stagnation. And as we mentioned in the first segment, promoting more flow.
Yes.
In the body, in our, all our body systems. I had a bit of a head fall, a bit of a head trauma, pretty scary experience. I'm much better now. I was in North Vancouver at a store. And I saw this beautiful ring, and I just kept on going back to it. And it was Moonstone. I kind of had an idea, but I looked up the meaning behind the Moonstone, and I realized it had to do with healing. And, like, interesting that I'm gravitating towards that. We gravitate towards colors that we need. We gravitate towards things that we naturally need and that the universe is always providing for us. The universe is providing for us every moment in terms of all the choices that we also make.
Wow. That is actually a good point that we're constantly being provided for.
I'm wearing brown and red right now because I know it's grounding for me. During this interview, I wanted to be grounded, open to receive. I don't know what I'm going to say. But colors are definitely very powerful.
Yeah.
As are gemstones. So you can always ask yourself, what's your favorite color? And look it up.
Yeah.
Research it a bit, and there might be a correlation. Definitely might be a correlation. I know my stomach is very sensitive at times, and I know that I need more yellow in my wardrobe because that is associated with the solar plexus chakra, or that center.
Yeah.
Of the body.
Also color in our food, right?
Yes.
Someone told me that I'm supposed to eat more yellow vegetables.
Yellow vegetables are great. Vegetables with color in general. Mm-hmm. I like to think of it as a rainbow.
Oh, yes.
Rainbow colors, beautiful to eat. Red, you know, orange, carrots, and because they contain something called antioxidants. And antioxidants clear away cancer cells. They keep you younger and have a whole health, different set of health benefits.
Yeah.
Mind is connected to body. Body is connected to spirits. What we eat is what we take in.
Yeah.
And also colors that way are very powerful.
Yeah.
Great point.
Yeah, because maybe 2 years ago, somebody had done, it was you of course, using food to heal, right? As opposed to taking pharmaceuticals. And
yes.
And they, we went through different dietary elements, and she came up with this that I should be eating more yellow vegetables. It was something that she saw that was supposed to be as maybe a weakness or a stress in my health, and that would shore up that stress. So,
yep. healing foods calm down the sympathetic nervous system, which S for S stands for stress. Mm-hmm. Stress hormones get released. Everything gets activated, your heart rate, by eating calming foods, by eating your fruits and vegetables. It also kind of tones things down and helps you cleanse. It's also very cleansing. Fruits and vegetables are also very cleansing for the body.
By cleansing
of the old, you're also allowed, you allow yourself to bring in the new.
Hmm, it's very true.
Yes.
So, since we're at a wedding celebration, what are some of the the foods to celebrate our bride?
Oh, we have many different foods. Traditionally, appetizers include samosas and pakoras. Mm-hmm. They are fried, and I like to indulge in that. But of course, we have the salads and all of that. The menu is definitely determined by what they want to include. That's part of the decision making process.
Wow. Okay. So, why don't we do this to kind of wrap everything up in a nice bow. Is there a poem to finish the interview in the series?
I'm going to read this little blurb.
Okay.
And that's one of the last poems in my book. It's called The Last Step.
Okay.
Of course, we've been through the whole ritual of beautifying ourselves from head to toe. The last step. She peeks into the handheld mirror and becomes his offering, like a petal that falls gracefully back to its source. The ritual of the solar shingad was concluded by gazing into the mirror. That was the last step. Royal and estate families were known to import exotic, heavily ornamented mirrors from Europe. And use of embellished hand mirrors was also widespread amongst the ladies. The last step.
Okay, so everybody, come out to Kino's Cafe October 25th to Sherry's book opening. And like she said, she's going to have lots of fun things happening. And she'll read some from her book. And you'll get to learn a little more about the Indian Bride. So that'll do us for this week. And we will see you next week. Bye for now.
My book. This is the prelude. Tap into yourself and decorate.